Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. Happy Thursday to you. I'm going to bring him right in because he's here, joined with me today to just talk about our days, catch up, have a good old time, is Puddle Boy from the hit podcast, Puddles with Andrew Collin. It's my best pal. You know him, Andrew Collin.
Hey, what's up, Nick?
Get that sleep out of your eye, bro.
Yeah, yeah. What is it?
What is sleep?
Are eye boogers the same? Like, if you broke down a booger and an eye booger, you think it's the same thing?
Probably consists of, like, yeah, a lot of the same stuff, like dust and dirt and skin, like dead skin. I think that's what most dust is like dead skin.
I wonder, though, if... Is it a booger that comes from the top of your nose or does it come from your eye when it's in the corner? I mean, this is probably for a scientist.
It's all just like dirt and dust that gets in your eye and then it forms in the corner. And God, I just, on dogs, I always get my dogs out and then I wipe it back into their fur. I'm so gross.
Like getting cum and putting it back in the guy's chest hair?
Yeah, I mean, you could do that too. I guarantee, have you ever wiped it, smeared it just on another body part and been like, I'll get in the shower later?
Yeah, probably when I was drunk. I remember my roommate walked in and I had cum on all over my arm and I didn't know because I was hungover from the day before and he just walked in and I was like a freshman in college and he's like, is that cum? And I was like,
didn't you have it on your pants one time too and like didn't know it and someone had to point it out to you?
Yeah, I was working on an $8 million real estate deal. And this guy named Dan Wander, who is maybe 4'10". His legs did not touch the ground when he sat in a truck, they went straight. They went like there was no bend.
Yeah.
And he was like this little man and he's awesome. Like nice guy.
Yeah, but it's probably nicer because of it.
Yes, but he was like eye level with the cum on my work pants because I only I thought I got it, you know. Sometimes you think you get cum out, but
It's like not, there's something about Mary.
Yeah.
Where it goes somewhere and you're like, I don't know where it went.
Well, I knew where it was. I just thought I got it out. But I guess in the sunlight, I was pumping gas and he was like, you want anything? And he was just like, is that cum?
You guys were doing a real estate deal in a dorm room with a bunch of black lights in a freshman dorm room.
Hey, bro, that's real estate 101. 101, dude.
Isolate them. To a tiny dorm room. Just flick on the black light. Put on some Dave.
I remember my buddy. I was so filthy freshman year that he got so upset with me. One, they played a prank on me where they put sardines under my bed. Mm-hmm. And the trick was...
You didn't notice.
That was
the trick on them is that it didn't matter.
I got them.
There was a thing I read about yesterday on Reddit. I am in this subreddit called Productivity. It just teaches you new ways to be productive. And one was like, if you are in bed one night and you think of something that you want to remember the next day, the easy answer here would just be put an alert in your phone. But they said throw something from your bed onto the floor so that the next day when you see it, you're like, what the hell is this? And then you go, oh, I need to go to the dry cleaner. But to me, I was like, that would not work. There's too much random shit on my floor. That's a lot to remember. There's a lot of things I'm supposed to be doing today, according to the floor in my room. It's so embarrassing to be so messy.
I remember my buddy, I woke up in the middle of the night and I looked and there were he took wine glasses and put them like all over the table, all over the place. And I go, why did you do that? He's like, well, I want to remember to clean the house tomorrow. And I was like, wait, what? Like, what is that? How do they connect? But I guess that is something.
Yeah, sometimes if I need to remember something, let's say I'm in bed and I remember, oh God, I got to bring my insurance card tomorrow for some reason. I would be like, oh God, I'm not going to remember when I'm leaving my house. So I would think, okay, when you look at the doorknob tomorrow, I would just like look at, think about the doorknob and I go, okay, when I see that doorknob tomorrow, that doorknob's going to remind you of something. And then you're going to be like, what is it? Why does that doorknob have extra meaning to me today? And then you're going to like go, oh, insurance card. It kind of worked.
Yeah. It reminds me of, I think you've told me that you've done this before, is when you had to remember something for like history class, you do like Roy G. Biv or whatever. Mm. Like you have a bunch of different things to memorize, to remember things that it would, to me, makes it harder. Even harder.
Roy G. Biv is red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple, black.
No, it's the violet. Guy from
Roy G. Biv
who sang Pretty Woman. Oh no, that's Roy Orbison.
Wait, Roy G. Biv is, yeah. Do you know the planets? I heard someone trying to list the planets the other day, and I was like, I do not know the order of the planets.
I wouldn't know the order.
My mother said to pick the very, is it that thing? Mercury, Mars, I don't know. There's all those like mnemonic devices.
There's Mars is obviously after Earth. Venus is before Earth.
Yeah.
You got Pluto way out there, which was not a planet, right? Mm-hmm. And then became
Pluto's all the way out. It's the sun, and then I don't know what's next to the closest to the sun. No idea. Saturn is not. I think it's Mars. It's got to be. Who cares? That's like, why really? I don't like. Who cares? Like, does it matter to my life? Am I playing Jeopardy tomorrow? Do I need to know this?
No.
Yesterday, my dad told me he got a Google alert that my show, Not Safe, that I did on Comedy Central, is now going to be, it's going to be like airing in the UK, like on one of their stations. And he was like, did you see this? Your show's going to be on, it's going to be on in the UK. It starts February 9th. It's going to air on, Channel 4 or whatever the hell. And I was like, oh, and I just like kept eating or whatever. And he was just like, you don't care about that? And I was like, I don't know what reaction you want like from me. What does it, honestly, I don't care. And he's like, I think you would want to care. You would want to know about that. And I don't know what's wrong with me that doesn't matter to me. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that.
Do you get paid when it gets on a new?
Probably. But I have no control over that. I mean,
I'm just trying to think of like positives. If anything, you're so disconnected from it. Maybe it kind of should show you that you shouldn't care when it's on in America. Like, why do we care ever?
I don't care about anything anymore. You never care about anything. And I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do right now and go, oh, cheerio. Like, am I supposed to put out an alert that my show's going to air? I don't know what I'm supposed to do, Dad. I just don't know what kind of reaction you want, but I'm truly disappointing you and I'm sorry.
Well, what's interesting is you could have so many wins that a win starts just becoming just another thing, you know? And that doesn't feel like a win compared to a lot of your other wins in the past, maybe.
Yeah, I guess I just, I don't know. I don't want to be jaded. I think that's a lame thing to be, but I just, I don't know. I don't want to talk about any of my wins. I recently had a win and I haven't even told anyone about it because I don't want anyone to go, oh my God, that's amazing. Because...
And what was this win? Can you tell me now? Can you tell me?
I haven't even
now?
Told you. No, I'm not going to tell you yet. I'm not telling anyone until it is like happening tomorrow. I just don't. And it's not that I don't care. It's just like I don't want people to get excited about things that I'm not excited about. And it's not that I'm not excited about it. I'm not in a celebrating kind of mood, I guess. I don't know what it is.
So why do anything? Why even try to succeed if it's not going to make you feel anything?
That's a great question. And I don't know the answer to it. And it's not like I'm depressed. Like I'm not feeling that depressed lately. It's just like, I'm feeling a little bit anxious though, because I'm getting asked to go back out on the road. And I don't know. I'm so scared. I'm so scared to leave this house, Andrew. What's wrong with me? I'm like, I'm really sad right now because my parents took off for their cabin and I'm home alone tonight and I don't know what to do with my time. Yeah, he's doing the Kevin from Home Alone, hands on the side of his mouth, screaming. I always thought aftershave must be the worst feeling.
I did too. And I shaved before and I put it on. I was like, Like, you know, you put it.
Your version is,
My parents are gone. What was it?
What was the guy that wrote that movie had an awful experience with Aftershave or something? Because I, even since then, I've never seen anyone overreact to it in that way.
Well, I guess it's just like on Aftershave anyways.
I know. How many guys do? Wait a second. Aftershave is like the same stuff that I put on my bikini line. If I shave my puss and I used to get ingrown hairs, you put it on and after you shave, it does sting a little bit, but I've never done this to my vagina and slapped it on both sides.
Maybe you should.
I should. That would feel good. Yeah.
Only when your parents leave.
I know. I really was like,
that's a great porn. Your parents leave and you're like, oh, so then you shave your pussy and then you slap it like Kevin. And then fucking DeVito comes and fucks you. No, not DeVito. Who is that? Pesci is in that. Pesci.
Those are two that you get confused. I can see that. Yeah, I don't know what my intense fear of leaving here is, but they left me tonight and I feel like angry about it. And I hate when they leave because my whole night is like, now I don't know what to do. And I don't really want to do anything. They always give me an excuse not to do anything because they're just sitting around chilling. What do you do at night? What are you doing?
I mean, I've been getting out a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to be somewhat careful while like living my life and having a good time.
Yeah.
So like Sunday, for example, I went and I met up with that Luke guy from Summer House, Luke Gulbrandson, who's very handsome, apparently.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? You don't see it. Okay. Luke is from Summer House. For those of you who don't know, Summer House is a show. And by the way, I'm sorry, Bravo. I'm slurring. I have my Invisalign in and I have to wear 22 hours a day. And so
I thought you were making fun of me this whole time. I was like, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, Andrew, why have your teeth not gotten straighter over the time that I've seen you since you always slur? No, Luke is from Summer House. He was, which is a show that if you didn't know, when I first started this podcast doing it daily from quarantine, I was like so into Summer House. I love that show. They did tape a new season this summer. I know that. But Luke was on there. He was Hannah Berner, who is one of Andrew's really good friends. One of my, I would say, good friends. But yeah, we definitely don't talk as much as you guys do. Hannah Berner.
I don't talk to her anymore. Now that she's dating old gray balls.
She's dating another one of our friends, Dez Bishop. But anyway, she on the show is dating this guy named Luke. And now you're friends with Luke.
Why
did you guys hang out? Like, what precipitated that? Luke on the show is, like, so not your style.
Well, we both like sports. He did my podcast. We bonded over both playing football. And
he's, you know, so hot.
He's a very handsome man. He looks I think he looks kind of like that actor that in Sons of Anarchy, the blonde guy from that.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
I never know names of these guys, but he's just, yeah, he's a manly looking man. He's the kind of guy, he wore like it was 75, 78 degrees, and he's wearing a ski cap with glasses and like an extra hoodie, like trying to look bad, but just makes, and then like a man bun, but it looks manly still. You know what I mean? Like he pulls it off. He can pull off a man bun. And
he doesn't seem like an asshole though. Like he doesn't seem like he knows he's hot. Even though obviously a guy that wears a ski cap kind of knows he's hot. He must know he's hot.
He knows he's hot. He's from Minneapolis. So he's like Midwestern. So they're like, oh, am I hot? They're humble, but I think they know it. They know. He knows he's a sexy man.
These guys that play like they don't know they're hot, they do. They know. This aw shucks, I don't know. They do know. But then there are guys that, I don't know. It's different with girls. Girls who know they're hot versus guys who know they're hot. Is it different?
Well, I think I think the difference is that if a guy is unattractive his whole life and then he starts working out and next thing you know he's – I feel like Luke was probably attractive his whole life, but I think he wants to be judged by more than just his beautiful cheekbones and perfect abs and glistening thighs and
thighs. did he forget to wipe the cum off too? And he keeps it moist.
It's been 15 years. Eventually, it turns into something beautiful, like a diamond from coal.
So you
if you keep cum long enough, it turns into. So yeah, so we hung out, we went and watched football.
A pubic zirconia. What?
He invited me to watch football and we just watched football all day. They drank beers. They probably had, I'm not kidding, him and his buddy probably 25 beers. Like I'm okay. And I had like 15 Diet Cokes to try to like, and a couple coffees, you know, like I try to stay active at least when I'm hanging out, you know, but even when you don't drink, if you like day hang, you feel drunk for some reason.
Well, when you're around other people who are drinking, you tend to like take on whatever state they're in. You like, I found that with whenever I smoke weed and people around me, they tend to be like, I feel like I'm high. And I'm like, and they're like, I'm getting like a buzz from like, they think they're getting like secondhand smoke. And it's like, no, we're outside. There's no way you've inhaled this. But they just get loopy too.
You could get secondhand drunk in a way where you're just like, oh, we're just going to be not dumb, but not talk about anything too serious. And we can kind of relax.
Well, that makes sense because, like, yeah, when you're around, you adapt to whatever the kind of people you're around anyway. And so when people get more and more drunk, they get dumber. And so you just kind of get dumber too. It's kind of fun. I haven't been around, like, all drunk people in a really long time. Or, like, and just two other people that are just drunk and I'm not.
And they're not, like, annoying. They're not, like, the loud drunk. But by this, we went to a second bar and I had a girl meet me that I met on Bumble. At the bar, we were sitting outside with Carl, who's also from Summer.
Carl's also on Summer House.
It's funny, they get recognized. They get recognized a lot. Like, oh, there's the guy. You know what I mean?
Oh,
I don't know.
They must love it. Oh my God.
Oh, of course. They sit in the most populated place ever. Carl, I think, likes it more than Luke does. And anyway, so we were sitting there and then they started to get a little hammered to the point where they were a little slurry. And, but this girl came and met me. I was with five people. And for me to go meet up with someone I've never met before when they're with like four or five people seems insane to me.
I would so much rather go meet a guy and his friends than meet a guy alone.
Why?
100 times
You feel more. Safer and you feel less likely.
No,
to.
I don't ever feel scared. It's just like, I am going to be more impressive with a group of people than I am one-on-one. One-on-one really like makes me nervous, but I would love that. If every time I went on a date with a guy, he's like, I'm bringing my two best guy friends. I'd be like, yes,
wow,
let's do this.
Interesting.
So much more than a one-on-one. Like, I'm not kidding you. Like, that is the ticket to getting me to go out is if you go, oh, I have a group of friends coming over because I know I'm going to be fantastic. And then your friends are going to be like, she's amazing after I leave. And if we're with a group of people, there's no chance you're going to start like pawing at me or doing something I'm uncomfortable with too soon because there's like witnesses around. and it's on display. Like, it's like my whole theory about that's why I'm trying to pitch this reality show. It's like, I want to go on dates, but I don't want to, I won't do it on my own. I need like an audience.
Well, I feel like with guys, if it's like, hey, come meet me and my three girlfriends, you feel like there'll be one girl in the bunch that is going to be very judgmental of you. Like, you know, the cock block girl, the girl that, you know, is going to be like, ugh, like I don't have a guy, so I'm going to be a bitch to him.
Yeah, that's probably pretty accurate.
So that goes on in my head that I'm just going to get there and there's going to be one girl.
Guys are much more forgiving. Guys are like, yeah, our dude's getting laid. They're like,
yeah, blow us all.
And they're competitive and they probably want the guy to, like, they want the girl to make, like, you get to be flirty with three guys instead of one. It's like way more fun.
And they're going to talk up their buddy. They're going to talk up their buddy. They're not going to try to bring him down to make him look bad in front of this. Or
some
whatever.
Might. I mean, there's some douchey guys out there for sure. I mean, I think we saw that on Summer House between the two men you were talking about.
Yeah, yeah, a lot.
Specifically. That was like one of their biggest fights.
Bro, they started talking for like 5 minutes. They were like, bro, I'm sorry about the fight on the show. And he's like, bro, it's fine. And I'm like, bro, but it's not, dude.
Oh
but bro,
God.
It's over. And bro,
I would love to hang out with Kyle, you, and Luke because
those guys- Carl. But yeah, Kyle too.
Kyle is Kyle's the other one. That's right. Yeah, Kyle's great. I like him too. I love everyone in that house.
Yeah,
that's
man, come hang. You have an apartment here. Get over here.
I know.
I keep
I
telling
you.
So, anyways, that girl. The other thing about New York.
Oh yeah, the girl came and hang out.
And what I realized is I just met. I've only hung out with Luke one other time, other than that night, or maybe two, but not really like that. Carl, I've hung out with once. The other girl there that I'd never met before. So this girl isn't coming into like a friend group that's known.
Sure.
Like New York, you can come and kind of realize pretty quick that everyone is kind of a gentrifier of this table, I guess. Yes. And I don't know. She was really like, she didn't try too hard. I don't know.
How quickly off Bumble did you move into like, and what was her first line to you? Because on Bumble, girls got to make the first move.
She sent me a GIF. Okay. Or a GIF.
What was it?
And it was just her sucking some other guy's dick.
Oh, come on. How'd she get
just imagine if
that?
I just sat on that. I was like, no, that's what it was, dude.
That would be amazing if that actually was what it was.
This could be you. I was like, that looks a lot like you. It is me. All right, I'll see you.
And you're like, you don't know me. That couldn't be me.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd be fine. You'd still be able to talk. So I ended up, so we were going to hang out the day that she wrote me. It was like a Saturday night and then it just got too late. And then the next day I was like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm just watching the island, whatever. She didn't have anything to do. It was like a Sunday.
So you invited her.
She shows up and, she has a beer. We're just hanging out. She's, 29. She's from Long Island. She was very like laid back, joking, self-deprecating. She looked cute and I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it was great. And then I was like, you want to get out of here? They were getting really hammered. And so around like 7:30 we left and went back to her place. We hooked up right away. We were going to watch TV and the TV wasn't working in the living room. I was like, well, I guess the only other thing is to play with each other's genitals.
Is that what you said?
No, that's what I was thinking.
Who made the first move?
I did.
You sent a GIF?
I sent a GIF. I sent Jeff. And
is he the guy in her GIF?
Yeah. GIF and Jeff.
So you made the first move. Like, what's your move?
What I do is I go, I have a gun. And you look great. I just went in for a kiss. Like, it was like, oh, the TV's not working. And then we're sitting on the couch, kind of like close, like shoulder to shoulder. And I was like, yeah, well, I guess nothing to do. And then I just went.
Do you take it as a green light that she's gone back to her place with you so you can go in for the kiss? Like, do you feel like, okay, have you ever gone in for a kiss and had the girl be like, whoa, what you doing?
Kind of. I went in for a kiss that one time and the girl punched me in the arm. Kind of did a side thing and then like
she's
gave me a little
such a hero.
She is a hero.
No, that would I just liked that girl because I met her before that happened, and that's so a move that I would do out of just being uncomfortable and weird and like feeling awkward. So it just made me feel less alone that like someone else like kind of flubs those moments.
For sure. And I don't know. I react to that as like, I don't feel like, oh, she fucking denied me. I'm just like, okay, she's not into it. And then we joke about it for months. I was like, oh, I still have a bruise on my shoulder from where you punched me instead of kissing me. You know what I mean? Like it's pretty cool. You gave me a hickey with your fist.
So you and this girl, you make a move, you go into her room and you told me and my dad the other day when we were FaceTiming that you got a...
Oh, fun time, Nikki. I don't blow and talk. A blowjob. I got a blowjob.
You said blowy to me and my dad, and I was just like, I can't. There has to be some kind of boundary with me and my dad, but there just isn't anymore. So you got a blowy.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. And then we watched Cuties.
Let's go over it.
Oh, you want to go? There were a lot of balls action.
In her...
Yeah, a lot of licking the balls.
Okay, wait, licking or just like... placing them in the mouth.
Licking.
Okay.
There was licking of the balls. There was a licking up the shaft. There was head play without going all the way down and then going all the way down. I don't know. She did a great job.
What she's doing. How long did it last?
Not that long because what I've been doing, because I'm on Zoloft, I don't jerk off really at all anymore.
Right.
Especially if I think I'm going to hook up.
Yeah.
So it didn't, I would have lasted longer but she was on the rag.
Oh, gotcha.
So
she said.
She
probably was.
She could add balls.
Yeah. So you saved your cum for cuties?
No. I let.
You want to save
Did
it
you
up?
Watch Cuties?
No, I just watched that clip I sent you. I told the listeners to watch the same thing that I sent you, unless they wanted to actually watch the film. Did you watch the actual film?
So if you go on Netflix, you can watch it in fast forward. So like if you just slide down on the thing, you could see like it's like a picture book.
Right, and I actually right, and you just stopped when you got to a 10-year-old humping the ground, and you would go, "Let's watch this part."
In slow-mo.
Yeah.
I was like, slow it down and let's add some better music.
Where it was going to be the
yes. Yeah. 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 So we were like,
adults talking.
Well, we were like, well, let's see why this is horrible. Cause, and why it was horrible was actually the movie just sucked. But you could tell there was a lesson involved. But whoever was obviously the camera guy or the editor, I mean, they made some pretty strong choices with the zooming.
At what point is it art that's talking about a message and being like, this is, we're going to show what these girls are now. This is what becomes of women when, or young girls when they're not protected from becoming sexualized?
The movie was based off one girl. One girl was very religious. She came from a very religious family with her mom and her grandma. Again, this is all I'm getting from picture books, but she ends up seeing one other girl dancing kind of dirty. And then this girl had two other popular friends. And so she wanted to be popular. So she wanted to join these three other girls.
And then
the peer pressure of her, you know, wanting to learn these like kind of TikTok style dances that are very sexual, which is all real shit. It's just like, I get what they were trying to do. They were trying to probably go over the top to then start a conversation about, you know, where we're at with social media. And I mean, if you literally go on TikTok, you can see shit that's just as fucked up as this.
Yeah. I mean, that was what I was talking about the other day about my friend who was stalking, who was lamenting that she was on Reese Witherspoon's Instagram and feeling insecure. She's like, I'm just looking at her and her daughter. And I'm just like, God, I feel so old. And I go, don't compare yourself to Reese Witherspoon. And she goes, no, I'm comparing myself to her daughter. And her daughter's like 12. And I relate to that. I mean, as funny as that is, I relate to seeing girls that are under 16 on, that's why I had to get off TikTok, was like, I was getting jealous of children being like, oh, wow. Not because I'm like, wow, they're so sexy. It's like, they have so much ahead of them and they're so young. That is now what women are being, that's what we're comparing ourselves to, is actual children. That's like 18-year-olds are now like old. Like,
yeah, it is interesting. If you go on TikTok, you could also see like older women sexualizing like guys that are maybe like 17, 18, 19, you know, watching them dance. And so you could do like a split screen and they're watching and they're like, oh. Like them getting like excited, the more this young guy who's like gyrating his penis, and they're just like, oh, it's so bad. And it's like, I can't, I mean, if it was three dudes, if it was the other way around, it would look so fucking so bad.
You know what? It is.
I'm sure it's happening, but just
taping themselves doing it.
And yes.
That's the problem. It's like, I do understand that things need to be kind of in your face to start a conversation. It's like whenever I post like vegan stuff or like something very heartbreaking, you know, there's stuff I come across all the time of like cows being kicked or like chickens being like just like horrible slaughterhouse abuse. And I don't put it on my Instagram because people get so upset about it. And even like, I think I once put something that was like a little bit graphic, but not by any means something that I would have been like, guys, just a trigger warning or whatever. And someone was like, you really do need to give a warning about this. Like, this has just ruined my day. And it's like, well, you need to, that's the only way you're going to change is that you see the stuff in your face. So I get that. I couldn't believe the footage from Cuties. I just thought it was so disturbing. It felt like I stumbled upon a page on the dark web and that I needed to go report it, you know, like, but that's the thing. It's like, I was listening to this podcast that I really recommend that I talked about months ago when I was into it, but it's called Hunting Warhead. And it was about trying to find pedophiles from the dark web. And what they do is they use, you know, guys that are like undercover, they use child sex abuse images to lure these guys. And it's like, is that okay to do that? To take the stuff that already exists and then use it and post it and write these posts. And they were reading posts from the FBI or whatever, the Interpol. And like these guys are writing posts, like disgusting things about children, but they have to be like the guy, they have to pretend like they're pedophiles. And so it was like, oh, they're creating this content that's probably someone's getting off on, but is it worth it? And then there was this woman who was the mother of one of the kids that was found in this whole like ring of pictures. And she was like, absolutely. If my daughter's pictures, those pictures that already exist, are you being used to like put these guys away, then that's fine. And it would, that would just be really hard. So I don't know.
Well, I think the name Cuties is not, it just, you just, I bet a lot of parents watch it. I mean, anything can be watched on Netflix. You're not, like you said, there was no warning. Like that woman wanted a warning from you.
Yeah.
There's no like NS, what is it? Or not suited for children, whatever. Like you're just going into a movie called Cuties about a young girl. You don't think that, next thing you know, they're going to be gyrating in like small little outfits.
Humping the floor was so weird.
So weird.
But I didn't see the movie, so I cannot contextualize that. But out of context, it was, I mean,
no,
I really,
it's still
felt
absurd.
Disgusting seeing it. But I also, that's why I had to get off TikTok. I really did. I was just, it wasn't that I was like, oh my God, this is child porn. It was like, I'm feeling like this is what men want. And I can't, I am.
It's, I don't know. I'm thinking about the movie though. And like, I'm thinking about shows like the movie Kids. Do you remember the movie Kids?
I know you do.
Yeah. It really fucked with my head. And it was literally young teenagers having sex, giving each other AIDS. And right. It fucking made me get an AIDS test from fingering a girl. Like before I was like still a virgin. Like that's what it did to my brain. So obviously people shouldn't get that kind of reaction where it's so extreme that it makes you afraid of any STD. Like, but there is something to shocking people into having them realize that there's a problem and maybe that their behavior is incorrect. So, but
I agree.
But have you seen Euphoria, that show?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
But that's kind of like Kids in the sense, but this is the thing. It's like adults playing teenagers, but we're like, okay with like 16 year olds fucking, but once they're, but if they're 2 or 3 years younger, gyrating on the floor, you know what I mean? Like, it's just an interesting, like, where we're, like, cutting off.
It's weird, and, though, because I understand.
And is it just
that.
The editing? Is it the zooming in? Like,
but these little girls look like children. Whereas, like, you know,
exactly. Yes,
17-year-olds
yes.
can look adult-like, and I'm not saying that makes it right. But these, I was like, anyone who, the way this is shot, men are definitely jerking off to this. And that's why I love Kurt Metzger's tweet about, maybe Cuties should be allowed to be a movie, but we should just find out. Netflix should target the men who are watching it in 7-minute increments. But that I'm watching it in 7 minutes. You are. We all went to those scenes to be like, what is this about? So I guess we all would be suspect.
And I just got a blowy, so there was no sexual feeling for me.
I just want to make this clear. You had just come, so you were
good. So
now
fine.
I can watch Cuties and not feel any like fear of maybe getting turned on by any of this.
Cuties.
Did I say Cuties?
No, I thought you almost were about to.
Andrew Collins with us. He got a blowy the other night. And you've been hooking up a lot recently. Or you had like a good couple days.
Well, I took off. I really was good about quarantine for like 5-6 months. And then I've hooked up with two women. Or three women.
Yeah.
In the last 3 weeks.
It's been so fun, fulfilling.
Yeah, but one I think kind of ghosted me.
Yeah.
Which, and then she, every
and then
time
she came back again, and then she ghosted again.
Yeah, who ghosts twice? Just ghost away. If you're gonna ghost, go.
Yeah, like, I agree to that because you want to keep him on the line because you had a good time, and you might need him again, so you don't want to like it's not good.
It's just weird when it's like, I thought I got ghosted. Then it's like, oh, my bad. I've been working so much. Okay, cool. I wasn't like making a big deal. Like it was fine. And then I go, hey, you want to hang out? And then I don't hear back again. And then she's like, oh, I was working again, but tomorrow. And then she writes me before the end of the next day. And she's like, hey, I know you're going to ask, but I'm going to have to work too much. I'm like, what? Like, why are you?
Yeah.
I was like, it's a little cocky to write me before I even write you begging to be desperate, you know? Like,
I think she was getting ahead of it because she knew you probably would.
Maybe I would have.
Yeah.
But I probably wouldn't if she was just up front being like, hey, I had a good time, but I'm not really into it. Okay.
Yeah, I got guys texting me and I don't tell any of them like, no, this is never going to happen because I don't want to completely shut the door on things because I think that maybe I'll wake up tomorrow and change my mind about it or something, or I don't know what it is. And part of you just doesn't want to be that, you just don't want to completely end things.
Yeah, and you don't want to be mean. I get it. I understand it. I just like, but everything led to her being into it. So it's weird when you get ghosted when everything's positive. The feedback's positive. And then, you know what I mean? Like, you don't feel like you're pushing too hard on the other end.
It's been so long since I've been ghosted by guys that I haven't even hooked up with. That's the problem. Like, it's been so long. I would be so scared to be intimate with someone and then have a guy reject me after that. I mean, it didn't hurt.
It doesn't really hurt. It's just like,
I did just get an alert on Raya. I want to pull it up. Hold on. I just got a new connection. Let's see who it is. Please, God. Oh my God, look who it is.
You look happy. Oh God. Oh, wow. Wow.
But I matched with him forever ago. That's so funny that it's back. I mean, he's just going through his phone and just going through. Oh, it's so fun. Look who just posted on their feed 2 days ago. Like, cause you can tell people where you are and on Raya.
Oh, okay.
Oh, letting us all know where you are.
Wait, he's hooking up.
You know who it is.
From New York?
Yeah. Look.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's exciting. I wonder if he'll message me. Probably not. I'm so closed off. It's so insane. I can't even begin to.
Yeah, you're like in a bunker. You're like in St. Louis.
I think once I get out, I'll probably attempt to do some stuff, but I got to get out. I mean, this is such a dumb old conversation to keep having, but there's just something about it that I just don't want to go yet. I don't know why, but I'm probably going to come to New York pretty soon here.
It can be fun. You can pick out some cool things for your apartment.
Oh God, that stresses me out so much. You love decorating.
No, I don't. I'm obviously the worst decorator ever.
But you weren't intimidated by it. It gives me such anxiety to like pick out a lamp. I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to live with this lamp the rest of my life. And if I want to give it away, where am I going to give it to? It's just going to be in a landfill somewhere. And then I feel so bad.
Then hire a designer or hire someone to do it for you.
They could charge so much fucking money. I hired this girl to design my apartment in New York. I have one lamp that she picked out. This is the only thing I bought. She cost me $8,000 in labor, like just from just, and maybe that's exaggerating. I think it was more like
six. Anya can do it, right?
Yeah, but she would charge me like
$2,000
just to do the work. It's like, I don't have the extra money now to be.
Get an air mattress.
Yeah,
that's what I meant.
I'm just going to move into a furnished place the rest of my life. I don't want anything until I have a husband and then he'll pick out everything. Until then, just furnished. I don't want to have any belongings. Besides art and clothes and maybe like a pillow. That's all I want. I'm so intimidated by getting furniture and like settling somewhere. I don't know what this anxiety is.
So then don't do it.
I feel like there's a civil war coming. We're all going to have to run. And then I'm going to be like, oh, I have to leave this Crate and Barrel couch I just bought. And just knowing it's going to get like torched. And I just spent $6,000 on a couch that is going to be, you know, I'll never see again. It stresses me out. We're going to use it as like a float when the tidal wave comes. And
I love picturing this soldier just being like, dude, I don't want to fucking go fight the Confederates. I just got this sick, like what would be like a sick candle or a sick new cow. I don't know. What would you even get back then?
They didn't have like back then they had their things and they just held on to them forever and they would build them. And so they would take such care would go behind getting things. Now everything's so disposable. It just makes me so sad. I just want things to be more, I want everything I own to be very special and I want to keep it forever. That's why cars stress me out, because I mean, I went and drove three Priuses the other day. I zeroed in on the one I want, and now I can't commit to buying it because I'm scared that I'm going to move to New York, and I'm going to be like, why did I just buy a fucking $18,000
So bring the car in New York. So bring the car in New York.
Then I have to get it every day.
No, you don't. You get a parking garage for freaking, you can get them for $200 a month now.
But what do I need a car for in New York? I don't even need one.
So then you can get out of there. You could go upstate. I love that you have this like high foot and I'm like matching it. Then you go, you can.
Yeah, I was talking about living with you the other day, and I do think it would be fun to be roommates. I never imagined that I would be roommates with you. I mean, I've toyed around with the idea of it, but I think we'd be pretty good as roommates.
Yeah, I think we would. I just like, the only thing that I'd be concerned with is, you know,
being a cold-hearted cunt.
Those are my words that you said. I would be worried, like, if, because with COVID and stuff, that you might be coming from living at your parents, you might be like overly anal about things.
I don't even think about COVID, honestly. Oh, okay. It's right. Kind of insane that I kind of forget. No, I'm not. I wouldn't make you feel bad about that stuff.
I think, yeah, we'd be great roommates. I don't think we're in each other's business when we don't have to be. And like just staying at your dad's and being on, dude, I mean, we are roommates on the road. We just need beds on the opposite ends of each other.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I was thinking we share a room and we just put up a curtain.
Yeah, that'd be good too. How thick's the curtain? Can you imagine us in bunk beds?
Clear shower curtain.
With a hole in it for our genitals. You know, whatever.
A glory curtain. Yeah, I just can't imagine going there and not having a roommate or having a constant friend there to like.
Well, when's your rent over on your other place?
Fucking March 1st.
Yeah, so you're not going to be able to be a roommate with anyone till March, right?
Yeah, I just don't want another rent, but I'm trying to rent that place out. So if it does lease pretty soon here, I mean, I'm still out whatever the rent, I've dropped it like $2,500. So I'm still out $2,500 every month, at least if I sublease it, because rent has dropped so much, but
you could also get a 2-bedroom. I would say I would pay something as well, or you could just take it out of
the curtain.
I'll buy half the curtain or 30% of the curtain.
And the scissors we use to cut the hole.
It will come pre-cut. I'll buy it off eBay. Yeah, no, I'd be open to it. What area? I don't know. We could talk about this offline, but like what area would you want to be in?
I mean,
somewhere downtown.
I don't know. I don't know any of it. And we're approaching hurricane season. I'm like, can we just get through that first? Because, you know, we could get walloped. There's like 8 hurricanes looming off the coast right now. And then LA, it's like the sky is poison.
Well, it's just interesting that the only states that are going to be left are the red states eventually. Like, it's all going to be like our United States is going to get smaller and smaller because you're going to have to leave the coasts.
Yeah.
And eventually we're all going to end up in like,
did you watch The Social Dilemma?
No, does it talk about that?
You got to watch it. I really think you'd be interested in it, but maybe not. I don't think it would change the way you consume social media. I've been off Instagram for a week and a half now. I just really only go on it to post some stuff and then I get the hell off. It's weird. I missed Rosebud's wedding. I missed Noah's our producer, her dog passed away and she posted about that. I almost missed that post. It would have been so weird for me just to not comment on it. But like that's the thing. When you're off these things, you miss out on your friends' like big events in their life. But you also
Maybe they're not that close of friends if you don't know about them.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. But think about all the things you would miss out on people's lives. If you like, how many people are you talking to not on social media outside of it daily? Me, Ari.
Luke. Hannah. No, I know. No, Rusty.
Danny. A lot of people you know what's going on in their life because of social media.
There's so many people that I shouldn't know about what's going on with their life. I see, I'm sure from watching this, there's so much I know about people that I shouldn't even give a fuck about that actually affect me, that could affect me emotionally, depending on success or whatever, where I should never even know about it. I really shouldn't.
The only thing I have Instagram for
is like for promotion reasons. I mean, I just feel like, because I'm not big on Twitter. I have no Twitter. Like,
no, you got to do it. That's what I'm saying. I mean, we got to do it. There's no choice. But oh, you know, a new thing I've been doing too that I've been teasing all week and I haven't talked about, but it's like so good and I love it so much. I saw some post about not breathing through your mouth when you sleep and how that's like this new craze. There was a book written called like Breathe or something that everyone's been reading about. And the reason that we get so sick and we're like, we don't function properly, and a lot of our illnesses are caused because we sleep with our mouths open. And my dad was talking about hearing some person talk about it on NPR or something. And my dad was like, it's so weird because I just had gotten a book sent to me that was written in like the 1700s, 1600s, I don't know, when there were still like Native American tribes all over the country. There was some guy that went out and some doctor, a white guy who went out and studied all of these Native American tribes and learned that they don't have the same rate of infant mortality that we had as, you know, at that point in time. I think it was probably like the 1700s, but this book is called Just Shut Your Mouth. That's what it was called in like the 1700s. He wrote this book called Just Shut Your Mouth. And it was all about how they don't have the same kind of disease. They don't have the same rates of illness. They live a lot longer. They don't have stillborns, all these things that we have or were having in our civilized society. And it's because we have centralized air, and because we don't sleep in the cold anymore, we for some reason have developed this habit of breathing with our mouths open when we sleep. So we all sleep like... And you're breathing, and your lungs are supposed to work their best capability through your nose. Like, your nose is supposed to be the respirator for your lungs, and your mouth just fucks up the whole system. And I haven't read enough into it, but I instantly bought these mouth strips that you put over your mouth when you sleep, and it keeps your mouth shut. And it's like this little Band-Aid you put on your mouth, and I fucking love it. I sleep all night with my mouth shut, and I wake up better, more rested. And I just go to sleep easier. I really recommend it.
All right, I'll try it. I mean, I've been sleeping okay lately, but yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I think, you know, they just had less toxins in their system, probably. I mean, they're eating cleaner. I don't know how long they lived back then, but.
Yeah, it's called.
It's so funny to think about this. Like, I think it'd be hard to just keep your mouth shut unless you bought one of those things.
You can't. You can't do it because you will. It will happen in the middle of the night. You will start sleeping with your mouth open. It will just start happening to you.
Can you feel your mouth like fighting to try to open up in the middle of the night?
Sometimes in the middle of the night, I wake up and I've ripped them off. I've had to do two now to keep it really shut. And it doesn't disturb my sleep at all. It's not like my dad was like, I'm not doing this unless it has a little hole for me to breathe through. I'm like, that's the point. Like, your holes are in your nose. So this is the book is called Breath, and it's The New Science of a Lost Art by James Nestor. Let me read this article.
Less sore throats.
Living with a plugged nose isn't fun, but James Nestor was ready. Plus, it was for science. While researching his recent book, Nestor let Stanford University students block his nostrils with silicone and surgical tape to measure the impact of breathing through his mouth for 10 days. We knew it wasn't going to be good because there's a very firm scientific foundation showing all the deteriorous effects of mouth breathing, from periodontal disease to metabolic disorders. Oh, yeah, that's another thing. All of the skull, this guy that went around and was researching Native American tribes, he would go and dig up their dead. And a lot of them had made like shrines with the skulls of the people that had died. And all of them still had their teeth, where all these people in civilized society, your teeth would rot out of your mouth like by the age of 7. And it was like, what is going on here? Nestor's blood pressure rose 13 points, edging the rider into stage one hypertension. Measurements of heart rate variability showed his body was in a state of stress. His pulse went up and he stumbled around in a mental fog. He also snored for hours each night, developing obstructive sleep apnea. His blood oxygen levels dropped. We had no idea it was going to be that bad. The snoring and sleep apnea was so dramatic and it came on so quickly that everyone was pretty floored. Breathing through your mouth at night puts you at higher risk for sleep disorders, including snoring, sleep apnea, and hypopnea. I really recommend this. I bought these strips from Amazon, and you just put them on your mouth, and it almost like gets your body ready for bed. Like it kind of tells you like time to sleep, and it like, and that's what they found Native American mothers for their babies. When babies would sleep, they would always close their mouths because these.
Can you wear when we hang out during the day?
I know Neil Brennan posted a picture of himself after having read this book.
Yeah.
It was a big piece of tape over his mouth. And I was like, you can just keep that.
Yeah, just keep that on. You've never sounded better. No, I'll try it. I mean, I'm down to try.
You have too much hair on your face.
Oh, that's a good
the
point.
The tape wouldn't stick.
Yeah.
That might be a problem. But I'm into it, man. It's like, you know, I always get into these little fads, but I think this one is going to stick for me.
Yeah, I think like you got diagnosed with ADD, right? ADD.
Oh, yeah, I did.
That's apparently some I was just talking to my roommate about this because she has a podcast about ADHD now.
Oh, yeah.
And how people with ADHD or ADD, we find like a new hobby or like a new idea and we dive into it so hard before even really like looking into it or before we even like,
we just adopt it as our new lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's gone like a month,
third of a book glazer. And then I've changed everything. I'm like, I'm never going to come again. Remember that whole thing I went on?
Oh boy.
Still going on that.
I know, but that was something. You really lean into things when you really get it on your brain.
I know.
Why do you think you do that?
Because I just think it's going to be the, like, I just go, oh my God. Like it just, I feel like the veil has been lifted and I go, wow, my whole life has been like a lie and this is going to fix everything. And this is going to make me happy. Where the ironic part is that being diagnosed with ADHD has lifted the veil for me and has actually been a huge like realization that has led me to be a lot happier. Because the thing about people with ADHD that is a misconception is that we can't focus on anything. And the thing is we focus too hard on some things sometimes because of our lack of focus. And if we don't go hard and like really get obsessed, then we can't function. And mm-hmm. So that's kind of what I think I do. And now I just earlier today I was feeling, you know, the same feelings I was feeling earlier this summer of like, God, I'm getting all these offers to go out on the road. I suck at stand-up. I've never been good. I'm a phony. I'm a liar. Like everyone's going to discover I'm a fraud. Never been funny. All these things. And those feelings are still there, but I just am not going all the way with them. Like they're getting cut off at the pass. They're not, I just acknowledge them and I kind of go, okay, moving on to something else now. Like I don't get obsessed with them. And I think that's where I get into some trouble is like, I just go too far. I take the thought too far. And then I just get, I think that it's all or nothing. Like that's what's going to definitely happen.
Yeah. I feel like that's how that girl wrote that song. I'm a sinner. I'm a saint.
I'm a bitch. I'm a lover. I'm a child. I'm a mother. I'm a sinner. I'm a saint. I do not feel a thing. What do you mean?
You listed like 15 things of like what you were. Like, I'm going to do this.
Right. I'm a this. Fraud. I'm not funny. I'm a liar. Take your money. I will not be as funny as I was on the roast. You do think things about me that aren't true. I just laugh at white men. That's why they think I'm funny anyway. Yeah, I do think that a lot of people are misconceived about me being like, I just to do this thing for Stern where I'm challenged to like make someone laugh that never laughs. They realize like one of their people on their show never laughs and they're like, we want you to call him and try to make him laugh. And I'm like, I don't know that I can do like, that's not,
yeah.
Does that scare you?
I mean, it's just like, it just seems like you're getting set up to fail. I mean, you know, if you were in person, maybe like face to face and there was like some kind of tension, but if you're just on the phone with a guy that never laughs and he's in at Stern, you know, like, what the fuck are you going to do? Like, other than like make fun of his dick or make fun of like,
I'm a little bit scared about it.
Yeah. I was listening to Stern today. Kimmel was on there. And Kimmel.
Oh, yeah.
And man, they're both so good. When they speak with each other, they're really like pros. It's unbelievable. And Adam Levine was on yesterday. And he was fantastic. I heard him. You know, I have Sirius now because I have the car. And I'm like, why the fuck haven't I had Sirius this whole time when I actually worked at Sirius for a while?
I know. Stern's
but Stern is so fucking good, man.
I know. I got to get back into him. He was bringing me so much joy when I used to listen every day.
I know. I didn't get out of the car for like, I like stayed in my car.
Just what were they talking about?
They're actually talking about Kimmel getting a replacement and having other people do it for him and how he doesn't mind. He's like, it's the best job ever. You're going to pay me and other people are going to do my show? And I keep the name? Okay.
He let that. I could see how Howard would never want that to happen.
Fuck no.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Howard was like, well, what if they sat you down and they're like, he's better than you, and we're going to change it, and then you're going to get to fill in for this guy or girl sometime.
Yeah, and what did Kimmel say?
Kimmel, I don't think Kimmel cared. I think Kimmel has $80 million. I think he'll go to do something else.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the thing. Yeah. When I worry about, oh no, what if they catch on to that I'm not good at this? I'll figure something else out to do. I'll be okay.
Yeah.
If they go, you know what, Nikki, you're not good at this. You were never good at it. You're not funny. You're not good on radio. You're not all these things that we thought you were. Oh, you fooled us the whole time. I'll just go, the ruse is up. Okay, I'm going to go rehabilitate some birds. Like, I'll almost be relieved if that happens. And it's never going to happen because I'm not a fraud and I haven't tricked anyone. And I do have talent.
There you go.
But
yeah,
it's all in my head. And it's, you know.
Also, birds wouldn't like you either.
No, they definitely would. I'd be great.
What if the bird was like, you don't feed me well. You never did. You fucking... Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that there was the second half of that conversation. I mean, you definitely you put those thoughts in your mind and about not being good and that it's like a ruse.
Yeah,
and it's just, I mean, I guess I have those kind of thoughts sometimes.
Well, I was talking to you the other day, and we'll wrap up with this, but we were talking about how you were having kind of a panic about doing a show where some people pointed out that you might not be as smart as you should be, or you felt like you got called, like you kind of questioned your credibility, right?
Yeah, like, so I had Tim Dillon on my podcast, and Tim is known for his, you know, his hot takes, his social dialogue, how he breaks down government, how he breaks down conspiracies, how he, you know, talks about.
He's very well read. He talks. He has a great vocabulary. He is very knowledgeable. He has very specific references to things that I'm like, I don't even know what. I mean, he's just a really intellectual guy. And talks about things in a way that I am extremely intimidated when I listen to him. So you haven't had him on your podcast.
Well, here's the thing. I think if we were just being silly and funny and like just absurdist, I can hang with him. I really do feel like I can.
Yeah, there you go. You know what your strengths are.
But when we're like, you know, talking in this kind of voice and it's like, well, what do you really, and you know, it wasn't like a back and forth that was what I would have preferred, but, and so, you know, there were a lot, you know, he also has a very specific set of fans that come from, you know, Joe Rogan and Cumtown, who like their whole thing is like, let's be as negative as we can in the comments. And that's the way of like, that's how we should communicate because that's how we think Tim would. But Tim wouldn't communicate like that.
Right. And so they attacked you and you felt bad. You started reading like about American history after that.
Yeah, which I lasted one chapter. I'm at the Indians breathing. Yeah. The Untold Story. No, that's a long book. It's The Little History of the United States.
Yeah.
And a long time ago I read The Little History of World History or whatever. And It's actually a great book if you're like, it's like History for Dummies, Cliff Notes, essentially.
Yeah.
And I started reading that, and then I put out another podcast, and I had two positive comments, and I was like, I don't need to
know. I'm back, baby.
I don't need to know about America. But yeah, it hurt my feelings. Like, because I felt like I didn't, if I did the best me, I don't care when people are negative. It's when I also see where they're coming from, you know?
Yeah.
You know, when someone points out something that you're already thinking about yourself.
Absolutely.
That's when it hurts, because you're like, oh, there is some truth to this. And this is how I feel. And people are seeing it.
And that's but, talking you through that, I realized something about myself, which is like, I compare my, you can't compare yourself to everyone. You can't be good at what everyone else is good at. There are some people that are better at things that I'm just not going to be as good at those things. And it's okay. I know my lane. I know what I'm good at. And I'm better at those things than, you know, than I can compare to myself to Tim Dillon all day, but then I have a lot of strengths that Tim Dillon doesn't have. Like, you know, I can't think of any off the top of my head, but
I can.
I don't want to be mean, but yeah, I can think of some. Well, you know, I have one of my strengths is being able to be like emotionally vulnerable and real. And whether that's funny or not, or whether that's actual intelligence or not, I have an ability to actually be authentic on air and be the same I am off air as on air. And that is a talent. And even though it comes easy to me, doesn't mean that it's not something that I should celebrate in myself. And I think that's where I get hung up is like, but it's not hard for me. And it's like, okay, well, that's still impressive. And I always want things need to be hard for me to give myself any credit for them.
Mm-hmm. Just like when your show is on in the UK, callback. Killed it. Perfect timing. I mean, I know we're ending. We're wrapping up. That was fucking... I mean, could Tim do that? Probably.
Yeah, he could do it more with better choice of words. And
I mean, but yeah, I talked to some people that listened to that I know. And I was like, did you feel like I sounded like... They're like, no, you were you. You were self-deprecating.
You're you. Be yeah. you. Yeah, yeah, I was talking to Carlisle Forrester yesterday, and she was like, she does you should follow her on her YouTube channel. It's called Here for the Hang. And Carlisle's great. I mean, her strengths are more so than me in terms of her ability to say extremely embarrassing things, talk very openly about all of her foibles. But she yesterday was like, I just feel like I'm going to get canceled everything I say. And I don't know what my take is on Trump. And I'm like, that no one's turning to you for that. Like, know what people want from you. And so I had to remind her, like, here's what you're good at. Go do those things. And it was just a good reminder for myself.
Well, you know what else I thought? You know what else? I was thinking about Chris Evans' dick pic. And I had like,
about it too.
Yeah, you have. I could tell. Someone tape her mouth shut. Could Tim have thought of that?
That's what I probably ripped off the tape in the middle of the night. I had a dream about that.
Yeah, so I had all these thoughts and like these points, and I'm not. And then when it comes to like political stuff, I do. I start to like get sensitive.
Why is that political?
No. I'm saying it's not at all. What I'm saying, though, is, like, I could spiel off, and I don't give a fuck how people react to me, how I talk about Chris Evans' dick, and how I think he showed it on purpose, and it's always a thick cock that gets shown on act, whatever. Like, I have all these thoughts.
I think he did it on purpose. You do?
It's always a big dick that gets released accidentally.
Is it big? Are people saying it's big?
I am.
Did you see it?
Yes. I didn't
see it. You can
I almost
see
crashed
it?
My car trying to find that dick. Not from zooming in, just from Google, but... whatever.
You
I'm just
did
saying,
see it. You can find it. I have yeah, love yeah. for it.
Yeah, it's actually harder than you think. But if you go to Pornhub, type in Chris Evans' dick. And
I'm not gonna do that. I don't want to. I want to see it in its natural state someday when I'm dating him.
Okay, so never.
The day he gets married, I'll pull that picture up and I'll go,
okay. Yeah. When he's dead.
Yeah.
When he dies on his deathbed,
I'll start going to med school so I can become a,
Is it open casket so I can see his dick? Can I see his dick? Is it hard? It is hard. Oh, 'cause he's dead. It's open dick. So oh my God.
Is it like a faraway picture or is it a close up?
It's not even that, like, it's not
he
hard.
He definitely
it's like,
sent it to someone. I mean, like, he's definitely had it because there's like
thick,
someone in
he's
his
He's got
life.
A big head, a lot of blood flow without it being hard. It's wide. It looks wide.
Do you
wide.
See his legs in it? Like, do you get perspective on what it
it's
is?
It's very
is
dark.
It?
It's dark. He's not holding it. It's like a semi-hard on, which is impressive. So you can only imagine.
It would be funny. I was like, maybe it's someone else's dick. Can't he just say it's someone else's? And I go, well, that doesn't really
That doesn't
work.
Sound, yeah, yeah,
doesn't
yeah.
doesn't sound good either.
No, it doesn't. You got to just own it
I
as your own
I love that
con.
He's sending a dick pic. He's so fucking hot.
Well, he also said, now that I have your attention, you should
vote.
Oh,
I loved that.
So, like,
please if, that was so
Biden
good.
Wins, it's how thick Chris Evans' dick is.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'll vote now.
So my point being is, like, I don't give a fuck what I say about this. And then when it comes to like politics or whatever, then I'm like, well, what should I say? But it's like, just go off the top and just say whatever the fuck.
Just be honest about the fact that you don't know.
Well, that too. But I'm just saying, like, I don't know everything about Chris Evans' dick, but I can still have opinions on it without being like second guessing and feeling like, how are people going to be mad at me? You know, what about the pro dick?
The country is divided on Chris Evans' dick.
My point is that, like, whatever you're talking about, just fucking say how you feel. And
yeah, and then it's not wrong. Feelings aren't wrong. That's what I told Carlisle. I was just like, just say that you don't know what you're – and also admit you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And that gives you so much license to say whatever the fuck you want, as long as you admit, listen, I don't know what I'm talking about. I am not educated in this. And then you're free.
You are free. But if you're sitting next to someone that doesn't do that and does talk about things and takes ownership of them and thinks they know, then you kind of stand out as not
and it's,
as
but
superior.
It's still okay to be that person next
yeah,
to that person.
For sure.
If you admit it. And it can be funnier. So,
yeah.
But I know anyway, everything. Andrew, go check out Andrew's podcast, Puddles. Who did you have on the show today?
Heather McMahon.
Oh, nice.
Oh, no, no. I had Heather on. Who I'm recording last, with tomorrow. Yeah. I'm recording with Paige DeSorbo.
Oh, nice.
From Summer
from
House.
From Summer House. Wow, you really...
I'm lazy, dude. It has nothing to do with me liking Summer House. I'm just like, oh, here's someone that's already been on. I'm literally... I don't think I'm ever going to try to get in. It's so annoying to get guests. It's so fucking frustrating.
It's very hard to do. I know. Even your best friend bails on you the day before. I mean, it's frustrating. Sorry about that.
It is what it is. I mean, look, numbers-wise, you would have done worse anyways.
Probably.
No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't.
It's okay. I'll admit that. She's so beautiful.
You'll get there.
No, I won't. I can't get that beautiful. It's got that.
It's funny to tell people. You'll get there.
Yeah,
you'll
it's just there. Like, wait, so you admit it that I'm not – okay. Well,
no,
okay.
I believe in you. What?
Okay, I got to go Google Chris Evans' dick. All right. Talk to you tomorrow, guys. Squirt, squirt.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.